My name is Tyler Fornes, and I am one of the co-hosts of the Good, the Bad, and the Hungy AEW podcast here on the Voice of Wrestling Podcasting Network. We take a broad scope approach to the world of All Elite Wrestling and the entire universe of Tony Khan. We talk about the big matches, the big stars, the promos, the storylines, and we also look at it from a big picture perspective. How are things going to change over the course of the next 10 years with AEW still in the picture? How are companies like WWE going to adapt and adjust to AEW? Are they going to be a similar way like they did with WCW in the late 1990s? Will there be a counterpunch? We talk about all of that and more on The Good, The Bad, and The Hungy every week on the Voices of Wrestling Network.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Rob McCarron.
Hashtag authority. Hashtag Steph Bouncy. Hashtag SmackDown 15.
Jeff Hawkins.
You done digging that hole?
You're listening to Shake Them Ropes with Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins.
Dance on your grave, dirt sheet writer.
Hello, everybody, and happy Saturday night's main event weekend. We're going to talk about Saturday night's main event coming here in just a little bit. It's Rob McCarron at Shake Them Ropes. I am flying solo today on this abbreviated episode of Shake Them Ropes. Jeff Hawkins has a health matter to attend to, so if you would be so kind, go visit Crap Game on Twitter. Go visit Jeff. Tell him that you miss him. And this episode was unbearable without him, as we talk some WWE and AEW coming up, some of the top stories, Saturday night's main event. So yeah, go wish Jeff Hawkins well wishes right now. I'm sure he'll be back with me next week to host and keep me in line as we talk the current happenings in pro wrestling. But I have some things from this Monday's Raw that I wanted to get to. Obviously, we have the preview for Saturday night's main event. Last week, when we were on this show, we talked about how Saturday night's main event may not have a main event. How currently, at the time, Danhausen was in the main event. They have since added a couple of main event players to a tag team match, which honestly, we should have seen coming, right? Because that's kind of what Saturday night main event is. It is the big names in tag team matches. It is the Intercontinental Championship being defended in a four-way main event. It's multi-man matches. Rare do you get the one-on-one unless it's, you know, a big name like John Cena retiring, per se. So we're going to talk about Saturday night's main event, the new official main event, and the currently four matches booked for this show, which in themselves actually look like kind of fun matches. Probably not pay-per-view worthy, this card, but for a two-hour show on Peacock to fill some contractual obligations, it's not that bad of a show. I am curious to see if anyone out there is going to watch this show live. Part of the appeal to Saturday night's main event for me is the fact that it is taking place in Madison Square Garden. That's a little bit of the appeal. There are not many arenas around the world, at least in the United States. There are not that many arenas where you're like, oh, I got to watch this show. It's happening at so-and-so. Madison Square Garden is one of those. Sometimes for AEW, the United Center now that they run the United Center is kind of a big deal for them. There are sometimes those venues where you're like, yeah, they're not going to put out a stinker in this venue, right? Or just the allure, you know, New York Nick involvement in a show at Madison Square Garden might be of interest to some folks to maybe peek this show, whether live or on replay. I have to imagine that a lot of people are going to be watching this one on a replay later on at some point. Most likely myself too. It's going to be taking place this weekend. It's Saturday night. Hence the title, Saturday Night's Main Event. It is going to be taking place from Madison Square Garden. So a big deal. They've already confirmed Jalen Brunson, New York Knicks champion, is going to appear on the show. Probably, it looks like, taking back or getting the back of Roman Reigns on the show, which is another interesting part. This is actually what I'll probably start with from Raw this Monday, is when they began the Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins program, kind of from nowhere right now, right? Seth Rollins came out. We don't have Obafemi in the main event of SummerSlam going up against Roman Reigns' championship because he's been paired off with Brock Lesnar for SummerSlam, which is a big match in itself. That left the opening. Seth Rollins is being put in there. He came out to challenge Roman Reigns, and they're doing the decades-long history of the Shield with a rather quick build-up. It's kind of similar to CM Punk, Cody Rhodes on SmackDown. A rather quick build-up, even though they had their promo after WrestleMania. Kind of a quick promo, kind of a quick build-up, even though they're saying it's 3 years in the making, ever since these two guys from AEW came over to WWE. They've been on a crash course eventually to get to each other, which really isn't the case. They have not been on a crash course. They have not been destined, but here they are. Going up against SummerSlam. But the crowd reaction Monday night to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins is going to be pretty similar, if not even more so, one-sided towards Roman Reigns at Madison Square Garden, especially now with Jalen Brunson taking his spot with Roman Reigns potentially here on Saturday night's main event. This really is a show that's going to show Roman Reigns as the clear-cut babyface, the clear-cut favorite, the clear-cut people's favorite in this match. That might set up, and we got that a little bit on Monday on Raw, Seth Rollins kind of healing over Roman Reigns, the crowd healing on Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins being set up as the bad guy. They got him away from the Vision. They had to make him a good guy with the Vision to kind of reset him up as a bad guy here. But if he does not win the championship, are we going to keep seeing that twist and turn with Seth Rollins' character where he's, you know, good depending on the wrestler he's going up against, bad depending on the wrestler he's going up against, but never quite doing those turns? He's not doing heel turns. He's not doing face turns. He's just kind of in the middle there, and the crowd will tell you whether they are a fan of him during that period of time or not. I'm curious to see what your reaction is to Seth Rollins. Hit us up at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. You can find myself at Rob from Indiana if you want to take issue with anything that I've said, including I want to get to a Twitter comment we got from our last episode. We will get to that in a little bit. But Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins, a very interesting match coming up at SummerSlam. Roman Reigns making an appearance with Jalen Brunson is obviously going to get the crowd kind of behind Roman Reigns. Obviously, he's not wrestling on Saturday night's main event, but still possibly taking a part here. Definitely at Fanatics Fest. Fanatics Fest going on this weekend as you are listening to this Saturday night's main event weekend. Fanatics Fest, Roman Reigns, Jalen Brunson taking part in there. So very, very interesting stuff going on with how they're positioning Roman, how they're positioning the Bloodline, and how they're positioning Seth Rollins here, because the Bloodline, everyone else but Roman Reigns, is being positioned clearly as the heel group. Clearly, you know, Jey Uso is unstable. You don't know where he's going. Jimmy Uso and Jacob Fatu being more on the heelish side, even though I can also see them turning. I mean, the crowd wants to like Jimmy Uso. He's never going to be a main event player. Jey kind of got there, even though his wrestling ability isn't 100% ready to be a main event player. And if you're not ready by now, I mean, geez, the Usos are, if they're not 40, they're pretty close to 40. How old is Jey Uso here? Let's take a look at Jey Uso, born in 1985, August of 1985. So yeah, he is over 40. He's a fully formed wrestler. It's not like he's going to get better in the ring at some point. He is a fully formed wrestler. So doing these six mans, doing these tag team matches might be the better place than him trying to be main event Jey Uso again, even though they keep going back to that. Very interesting position for Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins. Obviously, on the other side, we have CM Punk and Cody Rhodes battling at SummerSlam. And kind of right now, they're positioning that one as good guy versus good guy, one of those epic matches. And there's only two slots for main events at SummerSlam. And we're pretty sure Obafemi, Brock Lesnar, and Hell in a Cell is probably going to be one of those. Probably going to be the last match on a night. I know there's rumors out there it's going to be night one. Most likely, I would imagine that would have to be a night one match, as you have Roman Reigns versus Seth. Or maybe you go CM Punk and Cody Rhodes as the main event of night two. Maybe we get some type of surprise there. Maybe it's the long-awaited Cody Rhodes heel turn possibly coming up at SummerSlam. Do they do something to really draw a crowd into WWE? during whether it's the 1 hour slot on ESPN or whether they just want to do a buzzworthy angle, similar to what they kind of did with Brock Lesnar's return against John Cena, similar to what they did with WrestleMania when Paul Heyman turned and joined Seth Rollins. Man, that feels like it was just a few months ago, and we already have Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins have completely broken up almost a year ago themselves. We have Paul Heyman breaking up with another faction. I mean, the Vision storyline with Paul Heyman seems to be over between the two of them, at least for right now. Paul Heyman, during a backstage segment on Raw, congratulated Maxine, congratulated Austin Theory, congratulated the Vision on what they've accomplished, and said, "What the hell do you need me here for?" Almost insinuating that Maxine can be their new full-time accompaniment and Paul Heyman doesn't need to be there, even though the entire idea of this faction is it was Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins' vision for the future of WWE. Well, apparently they no longer have that vision, but the Vision still has that vision, so they're going to keep being the Vision. But without Paul Heyman, you know, the group could live on without Seth Rollins. That's okay. Without Paul Heyman, I don't really quite see the concept of these three together, especially now with Logan Paul being out, not the tag team champion. Why is Logan Paul going with a group at all anyway? I would think that Logan Paul would want to be back in some type of singles picture doing his own thing, doing the Maverick thing that he was doing before all by himself. Bron Breakker saddled with this tag team division. I know there's rumors online about Bron Breakker being frustrated with his positioning in WWE. Bron, if those rumors are even true, because honestly, Bron Breakker's had a hell of a start in his run on WWE, had bad luck with injuries, but he's had a hell of a start. Also super young to the point where he's going to have a lot of time. Very well in the future could be the Seth Rollins type who just keeps building up the top of the card because he's been around for so long to the point where he becomes almost legend status because he got to the top so early. But what is Bron Breakker doing in the tag team when he was just right there at the tip of the world title picture and in theory could take on anyone at the top of the game? He's had some bad luck with CM Punk, bad luck with Seth Rollins, could never quite get over that hump. Right now he's going to be in the tag team division. Not everyone can be in the main event scene all at once, or else it gets pretty jumbled. Almost a little like where we're at right now. I mean, the fact that we're doing Cody Rhodes and CM Punk when CM Punk has so much unfinished business with Seth Rollins, the fact that we're going to Roman Reigns and Seth Rollins so quickly after Seth returned when Roman Reigns has so many issues with other people. The fact that Gunther is left out. Sami Zayn can't get his rematch from his short title reign because he's not quite in the top there. The main event picture is already pretty full, which is why we have these SummerSlam main events coming up a little bit jumbled from where people thought they might have been. And it's almost as if we're not really going to know WWE's true vision, for lack of a better word, true story-related ideas heading towards the end of the year until kind of after SummerSlam. We're not really going to truly know where WWE is until we get past these matches at SummerSlam and we see the actual direction now that they have all their talent back. Who knows, maybe possibly Roman Reigns or another piece of talent go on to their next thing. Maybe they take a break after SummerSlam as we head to Survivor Series in November. But I don't think we're going to truly know where WWE is going forward until after SummerSlam. And yeah, you could say that, you know, we never know where they're going after the next pay-per-view. They're just trying to get through this pay-per-view. Generally, there were months. There were months where we knew, okay, Bron Breakker, Seth Rollins are involved. Okay, CM Punk is going up against Roman Reigns or somebody for the world title. Cody Rhodes is in the world title picture, and he's going to continue to be. We don't know if Cody Rhodes is going to be in the world title picture after SummerSlam, especially if he loses to CM Punk here. We don't know if he's going to be kind of in that next level down, number one contendership matches every week type of scenario. So we don't really know where they're going to go, but we certainly don't know where Paul Heyman's going. And what if this is Brock Lesnar's last match coming up at SummerSlam? Is Paul Heyman done? There's still the question of Bronson Reed as well. Has anyone remembered Bronson Reed? Like, is this guy just going to keep coming back and be a part of the Vision? Is he going to side with Seth Rollins, since Seth Rollins was the one who brought him into the Vision in the first place? Is Paul Heyman possibly looking for the next Paul Heyman guy after Brock Lesnar? And maybe he goes off and breaks off on his own with Bronson Reed and we see a Bron Breakker Bronson Reed program maybe at the end of this year, sometime going into WrestleMania next year. So there's still that question too. Like, the Vision has questions surrounding it. What is happening with Bronson Reed? What is truly happening with Paul Heyman? So there's still those questions that we have to answer before we go too far. Saturday night's main event, of course, we have Danhausen versus J.D. McDonagh. J.D. McDonagh will be accompanied by Dominic Mysterio. Is Danhausen headed to possibly being in some type of title picture in the future? Because a win against J.D. McDonagh could lead to a match with Dominic Mysterio, could lead to some type of involvement with possibly the Intercontinental Championship. Danhausen's one of those floaters right now where he could be Raw, he could be SmackDown, it does not matter. He's an attraction. He's got the ties to New York, fully based on him uncursing the Knicks and the New York Knicks winning the NBA basketball championship. So we're going to see the crowd reaction for Danhausen. I'm sure it's going to be pretty epic. I see some standing ovations in Danhausen's future coming up. But this seems like the easiest match to predict in the history of matches to predict. Danhausen getting the win over J.D. McDonagh, getting some type of appearance / involvement from a New York Knick, including Jalen Brunson, who's going to be there that weekend. So we're going to have some fun one. This one's going to be your match that gets played on SportsCenter and gets played on First Take and some of the ESPN morning shows, despite it not being an ESPN property this night. They're going to be giving all of the time to this match on ESPN, despite the fact that it took place at Peacock. It's not going to get a ton of time before the match, but afterwards, it's going to get some presence on your ESPN shows, especially if Jalen Brunson does some type of involvement, which I can't see him doing because he is injured. He'll appear, but maybe there's some other Knicks who could possibly get involved in this one. For the women's tag team titles, we have Paige and Brie Bella going up against Fatal Influence. This seems like a get-me-over match, get Paige and Brie Bella a win, although I don't foresee Brie Bella and Paige being long for these tag team championships. They've already had them longer than I expected. I know Paige is back to being kind of a full-time wrestler, but how long is Brie Bella going to be here? And if you just stick to the on-screen aspect, maybe it is time for Lainey Reed and Fallon Henley, maybe it is time for this new faction here in Fatal Influence to kind of be put to the top there and have some type of babyface team chasing them. But then you got to put together a really strong babyface team on the women's side. And outside of Charlotte and Alexa Bliss, I'm not really sure if we have a babyface team on the main roster currently. I got to put together some top babyface women's teams to go after this championship, especially with the breakup of Bayley and Lyra. And that is the next match on the show, Bayley and Lyra, Valkyria. Singles match, grudge match. We're getting some sad and some depressed Lyra. Bayley already has gone through some character transitions this year and last year. Building a character, dropping it immediately. So we'll see where Bayley kind of goes. But Bayley and Lyra, another match on here. I do suspect that we'll probably get a fifth match. This is being recorded right before SmackDown. I imagine SmackDown will add some type of match. We're always surprised. We think, okay, well, it's going to be the U.S. title. It's going to be something they've been building up that's not announced for SummerSlam. And then it just is completely off the wall, some other type of match. So I'm not going to guess what it is. Obviously, we'll all know this weekend. I'm ready to just go with the four. Maybe they just go with the four for Peacock and do two per hour. CM Punk, Cody Rhodes versus Gunther, Sami Zayn. Tag team match is your main event. CM Punk and Cody coming up opponents. So we're doing the old Vince trope of wrestling on the main event of the next pay-per-view, but tag teaming tonight to see if, can they coexist? Versus Gunther, Sami Zayn. I do believe CM Punk and Cody Rhodes will get the win here. Send the fans home happy on Peacock. I don't know if we'll quite get a post-match angle. We're probably just getting a basic match where CM Punk probably pins Sami Zayn. Maybe Cody Rhodes takes the pin from CM Punk, and that's the little bit of friction that you get. But a nice little show. I'm sure the show will be fun enough, but probably something where if you skip Saturday night's main event, you're going to see whatever happened on Raw and SmackDown. You're going to be caught up. Nothing's going to be earth-shattering. I don't foresee anything earth-shattering on the show. You're not getting a return of The Rock. You're not getting a big-time return. You're not going to get big time storyline development outside of this. Maybe you get a promo with Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns, which would be interesting, which would be interesting. So maybe you get some fun stuff on the show. It's a nice little watch. Maybe just watch the third place game of the World Cup. Maybe you just watch some golf, some baseball that day. Maybe you were out with wildfires going all over the place in the Midwest, with the heat everywhere. Maybe you're just outside. Maybe you're on the water. Maybe you're golfing. Maybe you're doing something during the day and you're just like, okay, I've been hot all day. I want to stay home. I want to just refresh in some Danhausen madness. That's kind of what you're looking for here on Saturday night's main event. So that is coming up Saturday, this weekend, Saturday night's main event. I wanted to talk a little bit about a comment we received at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. You can DM us, you can yell at us publicly, whatever the case may be. You can comment on YouTube videos, although I'm not quite sure this episode will be on the YouTube video because usually that's Jeff's job. And as we noted, Jeff is not participating this week on the show, but look forward to being back with him next week on Shake Them Ropes. But we got a comment. A comment that's like, Rob and Jeff, why do you continue to watch or talk about AEW? It's very clear you don't like it. So just stick to being a WWE show. Well, here's the thing. Thank you for the comment, first of all. Thank you for reaching out to us. If anyone else has that same thought, let us know. But it's not like I don't want to like AEW. I want to. I watched the show hoping that one day it will be the show I had the most fun watching in 2019 and 2020 and 2021. The show that was far away until the rise of Roman Reigns as the OTC, until we got kind of slower storyline development with some really big names, the return of CM Punk and so forth. AEW was the show. Wednesday nights were my favorite show to watch. It was the only wrestling show that I was making sure to follow along with. I wasn't watching Raw every single minute, going back to try and watch it. I wasn't watching SmackDown at all. Now, the SmackDown thing, I pay attention a little bit more to SmackDown now, but it's not the 100% show. But Raw, you got to pay attention to Raw. You got to watch Raw. It's the A show in pro wrestling, again, if there was ever a break where it wasn't. But AEW Dynamite just hasn't had that storyline consistency. It hasn't had the finishing of angles that seemingly are brought up. And granted, Raw has had that too. That's one of the biggest blights on Raw in the last 3 years, is that things get brought up, whether it's Adam Pearce on a phone call, whether it's people being involved in storylines. I'm surprised, to be honest, that we ever got the attacker revealed as Austin Theory, because it seemed like it would just be an attacker that, you know, one day we'll release who the attacker was, but it's not important now, and then we never get back to it. AEW has been even worse with storyline continuity, with storyline finishes, with too many names being involved in matches to this day. We know our clear-cut main event for All In. All right. We know that Will Ospreay is going for the championship against Kenny Omega. And it's completely great that Kenny Omega won the title. Completely fine. I'm not bashing MJF losing the title here, because MJF will be champion again at some point and it will be completely fine. And he's fun TV, and maybe you don't need to have the world title on him because MJF is kind of one of those must-see guys, must-watch guys in AEW right now. But Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay continue to be involved with a number of different people leading up to their match. You're not able to sink your teeth into, okay, I can't wait for Will Ospreay and Kenny Omega, because Will Ospreay is still involved with Jon Moxley, still involved with the Death Riders, still involved with MJF, who Kenny Omega is also involved with. And at some point, we're probably going to get a tag team match before they break off, a la Saturday night's main event here. And we just have kind of the same storylines going on in the main shows, but different ways to get there. And the ways that AEW usually gets there are just so commonly disjointed. There have been some good episodes lately. There have been some good matches lately. One of my other gripes with AEW is that sometimes their best matches are two guys who aren't involved in any storylines, not going to wrestle on the pay-per-view, and it's just a match for a match's sake. Commander can be in all the great matches he wants to on Dynamite and Collision. At the end of the day, none of that TV time matters in the least, because unless you start putting Commander on TV regularly, making the fans give a reason to actually care that he's even wrestling this match, the match doesn't matter. So you've wasted 20 minutes of TV time not building up to anything in the next round. Not even entertaining, because I can't sink my teeth into a Commander match right now, because I'm like, this doesn't matter. So they can do all the great wrestling in the ring they want to, but if I'm thinking it doesn't matter who wins, it doesn't matter what this match is, this match could easily be 2 minutes, it does not matter. And that's the biggest problem with AEW right now, is that too much stuff on the TV shows don't matter. The entire Collision show, Adam Page recently returned. Collision still didn't matter. And now what are you going to do with that? What are you doing with one of your top draws, with one of your top baby faces, Adam Page, never being able to go for the world title? So why would I be invested with Adam Page winning matches if he can never get back to Kenny Omega? If I really want to see Adam Page and Kenny Omega, I know it can't happen because Kenny Omega's the champion. So what am I supposed to be invested in? Why am I supposed to be invested in Adam Page? Because he's going to go up for the TNT title one day? Sorry, that's not good enough. It might be helpful to a Kevin Knight. It might be helpful to another name on the roster. It's not helpful to me, the viewer. So why am I caring about anything Adam Page does? So again, it's not that I don't want to watch AEW, that I don't want to like AEW, because I do want to like AEW. And I'm sorry if I want their show to be better and more interesting and more important. So we talk about AEW when we watch it, because one day it might get good again. And yes, it's been trajecting that way. It is getting better, but still the bad outweighs the good in my mind. And I'm waiting. It's not like I'm one of those either that's waiting. I'm not going to watch AEW until Adam Cole comes back, because guess what? Adam Cole is probably not ever coming back. It's like, I'm not going to watch it until Keith Lee comes back. You know what? Keith Lee's never coming back. There are a lot of names. Bryan Danielson, never wrestling again. That's okay. Some of the big names that got people interested in AEW the last four years, are never going to wrestle on the show again. You can watch those new names. I would have been completely fine if Kevin Knight, you know, was coming in and being a big name. But the first thing he does once getting put in that single spot is just weirdness with the Don Callis family. And that's what I'm talking about, is that they're not taking advantage of opportunities. And I wish they would. So that is my current thoughts. I wonder what Jeff Hawkins will say next week when we kind of bring up that comment. Leave us a comment at Rob from Indiana, at Shake Them Ropes on Twitter. Let us know what you think about the upcoming shows. We got SummerSlam and Saturday Night's Main Event. Of course, we have AEW pay-per-views building up to All In happening in Wembley Stadium. So let us know your comments. We look forward to being back together with Jeff and I next week on Shake Them Ropes. I hope you all have a great weekend and enjoy your wrestling.
Hello, Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network listeners. I am Jeff Hawkins, co-host of Shake Them Ropes, with a very special announcement. If it's been a while or you've never listened to us before, the original gang is back, myself and Rob McCarron, back talking wrestling. We have no idea where this show's going to go, where we're going to keep any of the old bits or any of the old things in there. It's going to be a process. It's going to be a journey, and we'd like for you to come along with us only on Shake Them Ropes on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network.